Dr. William Luther Pierce, 1997. Patriots versus Jews.
Hello. I have in front of me a news story from the May 30th issue of the Forward, a Jewish newspaper published in New York City. It used to be called the Jewish Daily Forward, but these days it's a weekly newspaper containing news of interest to Jews and just called The Forward. The Forward story I have originated with the Jewish Telegraphic Agency in Moscow, and it is a complaint about the growing anti-Semitism in Russia. The news story reports a protest by several hundred members of the Russian Orthodox Church outside the Moscow offices of NTV, the largest privately owned television network in Russia. The Russian Christians were protesting an anti-Christian film which NTV had scheduled for broadcast, and they were carrying anti-Jewish signs and shouting anti-Jewish slogans, complained to the Jewish Telegraphic Agency. The news story was quite indignant about these expressions of anti-Jewish feeling by the Russian Christians. Why should they blame the poor, innocent Jews because the television network was planning to broadcast an anti-Christian film? But the news story itself gives the answer to this question, and I quote exactly what it says. NTV is owned by the Russian media magnate Vladimir Gusinsky, who also is president of the Russian Jewish Congress. End of quote. Now that's a little tricky, of course. Media boss Gusinsky is not Russian at all. There's nothing Russian about him, except that he speaks the language when he isn't speaking Yiddish or Hebrew. Now, the Jews make up less than 1% of the population of Russia, but they would have us believe that the fact that private television broadcasting in Russia is dominated by Jews is just a coincidence. They would have us believe that it is a coincidence that the top man in private TV broadcasting in Russia is also the top Jew, the president of the Jewish Congress. And they claim not to understand why the members of the Russian Orthodox Church are angry at the Jews for the anti-Christian propaganda they see on television. All of this reminds me a bit of the reaction I get in the United States when I complain about the Jewish domination of the media here. I point out that the biggest media conglomerates involved in producing entertainment for Americans, Time Warner, CNN, and Disney, ABC, are controlled by Jews, and media spokesmen scoff at this revelation, claiming that it's just a coincidence. Hey, no conspiracy there, they say. I then point out that the most influential newspapers in America, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and the Washington Post, also just happen to be owned by Jews. And I ask if that also is a coincidence. Then the hysterical accusations of anti-Semitism begin. Amazing, isn't it? Now, Russian Christians and Russian patriots have much more to complain about than the current Jewish domination of their television or the current Jewish domination of organized crime in Russia. They suffered under 75 years of Marxist oppression. They know who brought Marxism to Russia. They know who butchered their Tsar's family. They know who the labor camp bosses were who murdered millions of Russians and Ukrainians during the 1920s and 1930s. They know who flooded into the communist bureaucracy and rode high on the hog for decades while the Russian people sacrificed and suffered. They understand that while Lenin and Stalin and Khrushchev and other non-Jewish party bosses were in the spotlight, the second-rank people who administered the Communist Party's oppressive policies were far too often Jews. And they understand that when the communists, having ruined Russia economically, switched hats a few years back and began calling themselves Democrats, not much really changed. They understand that the drunken buffoon, Boris Yeltsin, whom Mr. Clinton and his crowd were so desperate to see reelected recently, is merely a front man for the real rulers of Russia, such as Vladimir Gusinsky and the organized crime bosses. Those are the reasons why Russian Christians blame the Jews for efforts to denigrate their religion on Vladimir Gusinsky's television network. They may not know all of the details, but they have a pretty good idea of who the real enemies of their people and their religion are. Other news stories in the foreword complain that laws in Russia and the other former Soviet republics making it illegal to criticize Jews are no longer enforced. These laws date back to the time of Lenin and classify any expression of anti-Semitism as counter-revolutionary activity, punishable by death. The commissars who enforced these laws understood quite well that opposition to Jews was for all practical purposes the same as opposition to communism. Communism has receded into the background now, but the Jews are just as prominent as ever, operating now as media capitalists and crime bosses instead of as commissars. And they whine that the laws making it illegal to criticize them are no longer enforced. What kind of mentality does that require? I mean, is that really human? The amazing thing about it is the similarity in the way they operate all over the world. Take Canada, for example, the sponsor of these American Distant Voices broadcasts, National Vanguard Books, sells books in a number of different countries. We sell many books to patriots in Canada. But the Jews in Canada have succeeded in having legislation enacted making it illegal for Canadians to buy books which are critical of Jews in any way. The consequence is that the Canadian secret police often intercept our book shipments at the border and refuse to permit our Canadian customers to receive the books they have purchased from us. We keep shipping books to Canada anyway because a substantial percentage of them do get through. We have complained to the Canadian government about their seizures and have asked them to send us a complete list of the books that they deem to be politically incorrect and which are banned in Canada so that we can advise our Canadian customers. The Canadian government will not even admit the existence of such a list, but we managed to obtain a copy of one report by the Canadian secret police on a shipment of our books they intercepted. And the report begins with a, quote, list of prohibited materials, close quote. On the list are both of my novels, The Turner Diaries and Hunter. I guess it's obvious why the Canadian secret police don't want to publicize their book seizures. Most Canadians aren't even aware that politically incorrect books are banned in Canada. Canadians believe that they're still free. In that regard, they're worse off than the Russians were under communism, because the Russians at least understood that they were not free. A couple of years back, there was a big hullabaloo when the Iranian government banned a book by an expatriate Iranian, Salman Rushdie, and condemned the author. The book, Satanic Verses, was considered sacrilegious by Muslims. Large bookstore chains in the United States and Canada, among other countries, made a big show of defying the Iranians and selling Satanic Verses despite the ban. It helped to maintain the illusion that Canadians are free to read anything they want. The Canadian newspapers and other news media in Canada have not bothered to explain to the Canadian people that while it's permissible to say nasty things about Mohammed or Allah, it's not permissible to say things that Jews find offensive. And of course, they are pushing hard for similar laws in the United States. President Clinton's current call for laws against what he calls hate crimes and hate speech is the result of Jewish urging. Just as in Canada, though, they will be talking out of both sides of their mouths at the same time, pretending to be champions of free speech. At the same time, they seek to ban any criticism of themselves or any public exposure of their hidden motives or activities. We can understand the Jews' anxiety about having their control of Russian television exposed at the same time that Russian laws prohibiting criticism of Jews are not being enforced. One of their biggest rackets around the world has been complaining about what happened to them during the Second World War. In promoting that racket, they have pushed hard for the prosecution of aging Germans, Ukrainians, Latvians, Lithuanians, and others they claim persecuted them during the war more than 50 years ago. Their bought politicians and their bought judges in the United States and Canada have collaborated with their controlled media in hounding these unfortunate people and getting them deported. The Jews use this cruel sideshow, just like they use their various Holocaust museums and various Hollywood propaganda films, to remind the Americans and Canadians about their supposed victim status and extort more favors for themselves or for Israel. If you doubt that, just ask yourself how many times you have heard of the U.S. government hounding elderly Japanese veterans who mistreated prisoners during the war. When the Jews or spokesmen for the U.S. government or the Canadian government talk about war criminals, they always mean only people who are alleged to have mistreated Jews. Now suppose that in Russia, the principal television network were owned by a Russian patriot instead of by a Jew. And suppose that Russian television began an active program of exposing all of the atrocities Jews committed against the Russian people during 75 years of communist rule and calling for retribution. Hey, you think there's anti-Semitism in Russia now? There would really be anti-Semitism in Russia if Russian television were in the hands of Russian patriots instead of in the hands of Jews. And if any of the exposures of Jewish atrocities on Russian television leaked to this country, it would really ruin the Jews' sideshow about Nazi war criminals. As it is now, with Russian television safely in the Jews' hands and their man Boris Yeltsin in the Kremlin, that is, when he's not being detoxified in some alcoholic rehabilitation center, Russian patriots are reduced to demonstrating on the sidewalk in front of Vladimir Gusinski's office. We can make similar observations about the current Jewish campaign to extort gold from the Swiss, the Swedes, and lots of other people they claim took it from their grandfathers back during and before the Second World War. It is only their control of television, newspapers, and other mass media which makes it possible for Jews to operate this gold extortion racket successfully. Because of their media control, the politicians collaborate with them, and the countries against which the Jews make their claims for gold find it easier to pay them off than to fight them over the issue. Now, imagine how it would be if patriots controlled the media instead of the Jews. After the Second World War, Eastern Europe was turned over to the communists, and Jewish secret police bosses in Poland, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Yugoslavia, Romania, Bulgaria, and East Germany, among other countries, began confiscating everything they could get their hands on. Businessmen and landowners and others believed to be wealthy were dragged into secret police headquarters and threatened until they signed over their wealth to these Jewish communists. Many were tortured or murdered. The Jews bled these countries dry and ruined their economies. People in the West have never heard about this massive theft which went on after the war because, naturally, the Jewish media did not mention it. But if patriots controlled the media, you can be sure people would hear about it, and it would make a far more interesting and compelling story than the Jews' complaint that the Swiss bankers did business with the Germans during the war. If patriots controlled the media, the general population would soon understand that the Jews of the world, instead of being the innocent victims they portray themselves as, actually are the world's foremost predators. Whatever gold the Jews lost to the Swiss bankers is infinitesimal compared to what they stole from anti-communists in Eastern Europe. And any mistreatment the Jews suffered at the hands of the Germans during the war is nothing compared to the atrocities committed by the Jews or at the instigation of the Jews against the Germans, the Poles, the Russians, the Ukrainians, and virtually every other people in Central and Eastern Europe. And so now we can understand why the Jews become nervous whenever anyone, whether in Russia or in the United States, calls attention to their control of the mass media. They have committed so many monstrous crimes against humanity, and they have deceived so many people for so long that the backlash against them will be a fearful thing if the peoples of the world are ever given the chance to understand what has been happening. These American Dissident Voices broadcasts are a start toward helping the people to understand, but they're not enough. We reach tens of thousands of people every week, but there are tens of millions of people who never hear us and instead hear only the Jewish version of things. And as long as they are reaching 1,000 times as many people as we are, the politicians will continue to serve them instead of the people. And the Jews will continue to portray themselves as innocent victims who are hated and persecuted because of their religion, or who are envied because they're more successful than other people. They'll continue to whine about anti-Semitism in Russia without giving anyone a hint as to the real reason why the Russians don't like them. And they'll put more pressure on their frontman, Boris Yeltsin, to prosecute Russian patriots who demonstrate in front of Vladimir Gusinski's office. And in the United States, they'll be stepping up their campaign to convince the couch potatoes that we need more laws against hate crimes and hate speech so that programs like American Dissident Voices can be silenced. Of course, all the while, the patriots in Russia are growing and becoming better organized, and our American Dissident Voices programs are reaching more people in the United States and around the world. It's a race between the patriots and Jews everywhere. The old system that they and their collaborators established more than 50 years ago after the Second World War is crumbling. Patriots in Eastern Europe are just beginning to be able to speak out. The unraveling of American society and the increasingly obvious inability of a corrupt government in Washington to hold things together are providing a more receptive audience for American Dissident Voices in the United States. We and other patriots everywhere are racing to wake up our people, to help enough of our people understand what's happening so that we'll be too strong for the Russian government or the Canadian government or the Clinton government to silence us. And the Jews are racing to plug all of the leaks in their dike of media control while we're still relatively weak. The good news is that we are winning. Patriots are winning. New leaks are opening up faster than the Jews can plug them. There's the internet, for example, which is a big leak. They're trying hard to impose government censorship on the internet, but so far they haven't been successful. But the bad news is that they still exercise effective control over most governments through their current control of most of the mass media. They realize that their dike is leaking badly and that they don't have enough fingers to plug all of the holes. So they will try to make all opposition to themselves illegal in places like the United States, and to have the already existing laws in places like Russia and Canada enforced more rigorously. They will try to intercept all of our books going across the Canadian border instead of just a few. They will try to force Boris Yeltsin to arrest the next batch of patriots who demonstrate in Moscow. Despite their control of the politicians, the Jews are not likely to be able to use our governments against us as effectively as they would like. Those governments have been under their influence too long and have become too corrupt. Look at the Clinton government in Washington. It has lost the respect of nearly all the people. It can still cause much damage and much suffering. It can still attempt to impose repressive laws on the people, but it can no longer command the respect of any of the people. And that, my friends, is why the Jews will lose in the end, and we will win. If we are able to maintain our courage and our commitment to freedom and to the truth, and if we are willing to make the necessary sacrifices, we'll all need to remain strong and faithful, and we'll all need to pull together. But we will win, you and I together. Thanks for being with me again today.